White, J.E. White, Emma. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. January 22, 1902. Dear children, Edson and Emma, I received your letter yesterday. W.C. White is in San Francisco. Sarah has been in Oakland ever since our return. She accompanied me home Friday morning, and that afternoon took the train for Oakland. Her sister's daughter has a baby, then 4 days old. He is a strong, healthy boy, and weighed 9 pounds at his birth. But when he was born, a blood vessel on his head was ruptured. This has made a swelling on his head and causes them some anxiety. It may prove to be a serious matter. Sarah thought it would be best for her to stay with her sister and her niece for a few days. Since my return, I have improved in health. My cough has almost left me. My appetite has come back. I eat thistle greens and zwieback with relish. But I am not yet strong. I have not sat at the table with the family since I came home. I have been out to drive twice. We have Willie and May and part of their family staying with us for a while. They sleep in my spare parlor. Mabel and May Jones stay in the woodshed at their new house. Ella is in San Francisco, attending an educational institute. Willie went to San Francisco a day or two ago to attend a council meeting. We expect him home tomorrow. I have read your letter carefully. Before it came, I had written one to Brethren Daniels and Evans. But since writing this letter, I have changed my mind entirely. I cannot feel clear to ask for steps to Christ, thus giving the impression that I wish to cut all the cords that bind me to the publishing house. There is such a thing as putting into operation very imprudent plans. From the light God has given me, I know that we must be guarded. We must strive to keep every door of temptation closed. I fear that the work the Southern Publishing Association is doing in handling patriarchs and prophets will create feelings that will not tend to unity. Should I now present a request for the plates of Steps to Christ, this would bring temptations to minds and would work against the unity that should exist among God's people. We are now to do all we possibly can to harmonize. Most earnestly, we must strive to help one another. We must do nothing that will excite prejudice, nothing that will stir up strife. We are to do all in our power to answer the prayer in the 17th chapter of John, Christ's prayer for unity. We must be very guarded, lest we place a stumbling block in our brother's way. We are to do our appointed work with an eye single to the glory of God. We are to learn the meekness and lowliness of Christ, doing all we can to secure peace and unity. We are to hedge up, if possible, the way of the enemy. We are to exemplify in our lives the love of Christ, soothing disturbed and tempted minds. We need to seek God most earnestly. Let us study the words of one of Christ's followers, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Psalm 18, verse 35. We must bring ourselves into line. We must gain complete control of our words, of the tones of the voice, and of our actions. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. We need, my dear children, to learn how to wear Christ's yoke gracefully. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. You have, my dear son, natural force of character. You must cultivate simplicity and godly sincerity. Never allow the enemy to control your feelings. Always remember Christ's promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Before you speak, think of who is your companion. Respect the heavenly guest by tempering the natural impetuosity of your nature with meekness and gentleness. Do not forget that you are honored with the presence of heaven's nobility. With you are associated men of excellent ability. How thankful I feel for this! Preserve their confidence. Be ever on your guard. This self-training will keep you very near Christ. You have the privilege of cultivating the Christ-like habits that you delight to see in others. Ever preserve habits of reverence in your dealings with your associates. My son, strive to be a whole man. Keep ever on your guard. You are watched, and if you follow Jesus, men will see that you are learning of him. We need to remember that we must not take on us all the heavy responsibilities that we can possibly carry. Do not get under too many loads. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. Let every step you take carry you nearer heaven. Grow in grace, in self-reliance, in self-control. Let every day find you more nearly prepared to unite with the royal family in the heavenly courts. Perplexities will arise with regard to the food business. I have articles written on this subject. These articles extend over several years, and as fast as I can find them, I am having them copied. January 28, 1902. I had to leave this letter to put some copy into the hands of my copyist. W. C. White came home Thursday and is moving into his house. I am so glad that he can have a few days with his wife. For the last few months, their family has been somewhat broken up. But May has been very patient. She is not one of the kind that complain. Since they came to America, she has certainly had a very hard, trying time. My family has tried to help her all they could. The sickness the children have had has made things very unpleasant for May, to say the least. I shall now close this letter by saying that I am very much improved in health, especially as regards my appetite. I am still weak, but my system seems to be cleansed, and I am very hungry for my meals. How good my favorite dishes, thistle greens and potato meal, taste. I am like a fever patient who has been half-starved. I feel hungry, hungry. I am easily satisfied at the time, but before the next meal, I am very hungry again. I am glad that terrible sickness is over. I feel comparatively well again health-wise, but I can make no boast of strength. When on my feet, I totter as if just learning to walk.